Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. The conventions are coming up in just a couple of weeks. Oh, my goodness. What a good time for the circus inside the greatest political show on earth to be coming back on Showtime. The second part of the season premieres Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. If you're a fan of politics, you need to watch this. If you're not a fan of politics, you need to watch this. The access is unprecedented. It is unbelievable. It's hosted by Mark Halperin, John Heilman, and, of course, my guest, Mark McKinnon, who was the former chief media strategist for George W. Bush. He is one of the executive producers of The Circus, and it is good to welcome Mark back to WGN. Mark, thanks for taking time this afternoon. Good to talk to you.
Hey, what a week to come back. The circus is in full bloom, man.
Oh, man. There has been a lot happening since you guys had your last episode.
Well, you know, there's been a lot, but we have 26 episodes, and we took a little break, and at that time, Trump and Clinton kind of wrapped things up. And, yes, a lot's happened because every day and every week's been a fabulous storyline and just so interesting. This election, but I think we picked the right week to come back. I mean, my God, there's so much going on this week. In fact, I just came from the front row. I had a front row seat at the FBI hearings. The hearings with the FBI director. So I just sat through 5 hours of his testimony with a front seat, listening to all that. Of course, we were shooting it for the circus. It was fascinating.
And what do you make of the decision not to prosecute?
Well, I tell you what, if you sit and listen to his presentation today, it's impossible to come away with any other conclusion than this guy is an absolute straight arrow and that he made the right decision. He's not a partisan. He's a classic, you know, law enforcement guy. He laid out the case, made it very clear what the rationale was, and talked about other cases and why not. And, you know, I've watched a lot of congressional testimony in my lifetime.
Right.
That's the best testimony I've ever seen in my entire career.
Well, and before this, both sides of the aisle thought James Comey was unimpeachable. This was a guy everybody trusted, and now, you know, Republicans are trying to politicize it, but also call his judgment into question. But it doesn't seem like that can be called into question.
Not if you watch this testimony. I don't think any, you know, nonpartisan American viewer or voter could watch those hearings and come away with any other conclusion than we have the best FBI director in the universe. This guy is buttoned up. He's down the middle. You know, it makes you feel good about having a government, a guy in charge of the FBI like him. And now all that said, there are still a lot of significant talking points for Republicans.
I mean,
he said she did lie. He said she was, you know, really loose with, you know, national security classified documents, all these things that are, you know, really damaging. So, and by the way, two things that he kind of left hanging out there. One was that there's potential perjury charges from her congressional testimony. That's one. And number two, he was asked about whether or not they're investigating the Clinton Foundation, and he refused to answer that question, which was very interesting.
Ah, okay. That is interesting. Now, is Donald Trump going to need any other talking points than what has happened the next couple of days? I mean, it's crooked Hillary, it's lying Hillary. Is there going to be anything else that Donald Trump is going to seize on, or will this be his meat and potatoes until the election?
Well, it ought to be his meat and potatoes. I mean, the problem is that he keeps veering away from the meat and potatoes and, you know, bringing up, you know, kind of issues that don't necessarily relate directly. And, you know, that he just, this is part of being a presidential candidate and growing and evolving and just getting more disciplined. The problem is that he's just, you know, he wants to talk about everything under the sun, and right, he often misses opportunities to kind of, you know, laser his focus on what he should really be talking about.
Now, the last time the circus aired on Showtime, Corey Lewandowski was still the campaign manager for Donald Trump. Did it surprise you that they parted ways?
No, it really didn't. You know, I mean, I don't know Corey personally, but here's what I'll tell you. Having been in a bunch of presidential campaigns, the one thing I absolutely know is that there cannot be two power centers. And there were two power centers, Paul Manafort, who was, you know, the campaign chairman or whatever you want to call him, and there was Corey. And there's inevitably conflict whenever you have two power centers in a campaign. I mean, it's what destroyed the Dukakis campaign. And I've seen it, you know, either work or not work for that very reason. You have to have a really clear centralized command. And there were two commanders, and you just can't have that. So one of them was inevitably going to go.
Now, we talked about what Donald Trump's meat and potatoes are going to be attacking Hillary Clinton. What is she going to hammer on other than inexperience and failed businesses? That seems to be what we're looking at so far.
Well, I think we talked to them, to the senior Clinton campaign managers and senior team this week. They'll be on the show Sunday. But I thought one of them framed it quite accurately and succinctly and compellingly by saying, our message about, you know, what we're going to do with Donald Trump is diminish the man, but not the threat.
Okay.
So in other words, they're going to sort of do what they did yesterday and talk about his failed business practices that he bankrupted, you know, Atlantic Casino left. And basically our message is that, yeah, he may have been successful, but he was successful only for himself. Hillary Clinton's been successful for millions and millions of other people working for others. But they're going to say they're going to kind of belittle him and diminish him as a businessman, as a, you know, all the things he claims to be. But then also make clear that that if he were in charge, that it only makes worse the economic and foreign policy threats that we face.
Now, coming up to Cleveland, there was a lot of talk early about maybe a brokered convention, the Republican Party not getting behind Donald Trump. That conversation seems to have waned a little bit. Are you expecting any surprises when the Republicans roll into Cleveland?
Maybe so. You know, I mean, I was up until just a couple of days ago, I was sort of the camp that, you know, listen, this thing's locked and done. He's got all the delegates. They're not going anywhere. But I saw some what they call whip counts on delegates. I mean, that's, you know, people actually, but, you know, talking to the delegates themselves.
Right.
And it's not nearly as unanimous as I thought just a week ago. So there could be some turbulence.
Well, there was some talk in some articles about, you know, a lot of Donald Trump's delegates are just everyday average folks, and it's quite an expense to go to the convention. So they're wondering if some of those people will not, you know, make that financial commitment to come.
I'd be surprised. You know, I mean, it's such a big deal to be a delegate and then be to go to a convention. I kind of discount that theory, but there's just, you know, there's just some, you know, rumblings in the ranks, and there's been this period leading up to the convention has been it's been a lot erratic, right. And you know, there's a lot of concerns, but there's no plan B is the problem. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If they were going to pull some shenanigans or hijinks, what is the plan B? Like you said, there isn't one.
Well, there isn't one. So, I mean, I think that's Trump's greatest protection against that sort of thing is that, A, he actually has a, you know, at least going in, theoretically, a clear majority of the delegates, and there's no plan B. I mean, there's no other option, no realistic option.
Now, on the circus,
But I think... But I think it's going to be entertaining no matter what.
Well, that's it. And it was very entertaining watching the show through the primaries. And last time you and I talked, you said you hadn't seen primaries like that in a long time. As we go into the general election now and this the campaign now down to just Hillary and Donald Trump, are you expecting it to be something that we've seen before, something that we've never seen before, or kind of, you know,
no,
just run-of-the-mill?
The fascinating and interesting, compelling, and sometimes awful thing about this election is that it's been so surprising in so many ways. You know, if I'd taken this as a script to Hollywood 2 years ago, they would have thrown me out of the office to saying it was over the top.
Right.
But that's what makes it interesting. That it's unpredictable. We don't know how the story's going to go. And so we have two, we have two polar opposite candidates. We have one who's the embodiment of the establishment, who's been around Washington forever, and has all the baggage as a result of that. And then we've got, you know, something we've never seen before, complete outsider, billionaire real estate developer. We kind of have, you know, the immovable object and the irresistible force. And so the one thing that we know is that, whatever happens, it's not going to be like anything we've ever seen before. And here's another thing. I bet that the first debate, will be the most watched television in American history. I mean, people are going to be so interested.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
what
that.
Happens. Right,
it's going to be insane.
Yeah, there's been lots of turns and twists in this election, and all the conventional wisdom has been thrown out the window. So people are dialed in; they're really interested, and that's what makes it fun.
Now, you mentioned we have polar opposite candidates. A new poll just came out. Now, granted, it was a small sample size that most Americans are alarmed about this election. Unfavorable opinion of Hillary Clinton, 60% or 53%, 60% had an unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump. With as the candidates both go to pick their VPs, what can each of them do with their choice to maybe bring that number down a little bit so more people view them favorably?
Well, the reality is historically, at least, not much. The VP selection, although it'll get a bunch of news for a week or two, in the end doesn't make that much difference. So arguably, I think you could say in this case, it could make a difference, particularly in Donald Trump's case, because we've never had somebody who's run, who's never been in Washington before. And so, you know, in theory, he could help his case by bringing aboard somebody that just calms people's concerns about his lack of Washington experience, his lack of foreign policy experience, by just bringing in a steady hand of some kind. You know, the people's concerns about Trump are that he'd be too erratic, you know, doesn't understand how things work, and so he could just bring in somebody that people think knows Washington, knows how things work. So that could be helpful to Trump. Hillary Clinton's problem is, you know, it has more to do with trust and honesty. Her mandate may be to bring in somebody who just helps on that account, just somebody who's well-liked, you know, very credible, solid. You know, there's no reason for her to, I mean, I think it's going to make less of an impact on her because everybody knows Hillary Clinton, you know,
right.
And so I don't think whoever she picks is not going to have much impact.
Now, you guys had unbelievably a lot of access during the primaries. You seem to have all the, you know, you were with all the candidates. Do you foresee that being the same as the general moves on? Have you heard from either the Trump or the Clinton camps regarding the first part of the season?
Well, my rationale for this whole show from the very beginning was to show the universe, show what it's like to be in a presidential campaign and behind the scenes. I've always thought that we'd get more and better access than anybody else, and we're doing that, and we'll continue to do that. But I've also felt strongly that there are really a lot of interesting players and characters in this orbit besides the candidates. In fact, in many ways, the candidates are you know, you get them in an interview, they're going to just do predictable things. But there's campaign managers, there's, you know, sons and daughters and field directors. There's lots of secondary characters who are really interesting and funny and, you know, dramatic. So we'll be building a lot of those characters as well.
Good.
As the central characters. But I guarantee you that when people tune in, they're going to feel like they're in the cockpit of a campaign.
It was great. And one that sticks out, I forget who he was the campaign manager for, where you guys had, he was in a Mexican restaurant, and was that Rubio's guy?
Cruz's campaign manager. No, it was Cruz.
Oh, Cruz's campaign manager. Yeah,
yeah.
And that, he was convinced he was going to win. Now he's just drinking margaritas by himself somewhere.
Yeah, but that was a very compelling scene. I mean,
it was.
You know, you could tell he was a true believer.
And the interview with Donald Trump's son, I think you did that one right after one of his first.
I did, he was one of the most compelling characters I talked to the whole season. He and Bernie Sanders' wife,
yes,
were just really interesting. And that's what I mean by these secondary characters. Donald Trump Jr., Jane Sanders, they're rock stars, and they're really down-to-earth, really interesting people.
Well, that's the kind of access people will see when they tune in to The Circus inside the greatest political show on earth. They are back Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 o'clock our time here, or 7 o'clock our time here on July 10th on Showtime. Mark, it is always good to talk to you. It'll be very interesting to watch the next few months as you guys follow these candidates to the end.
Hey, thanks for having me at The Circus out there. We'll see you in Cleveland.
Take care. That's Mark McKinnon, executive producer of for Showtime's The Circus, inside the greatest political show on earth. Again, comes back Sunday, this Sunday, July 10th, 7 o'clock our time on Showtime. You can always go, and I urge you, actually, if you are interested in the show, go back. If you didn't see the first 24 episodes, they're a half hour each. Go back, binge watch them before Sunday night, because, yes, we know the primaries are over, but you will really enjoy it.